The line up the top was our original talk, but we decided it was a bit long-winded and got our initial new title there. But I could really just call my talk looking at the soil and then filling in a hole to make grass grow better. A little bit about Benaterra, the company I work for. It's basically we're an environmental company that bases our work around agronomy and soil science. We started in the USA about 13 years ago, mainly looking at reusing coal bed methane produced water for irrigation. In Australia, the market for that wasn't really available, and we've been mainly working on pushing in the ponds they use to store water when extracting gas from coal seams. And in their exploratory phase, they build a dam to put the water into that they produce at the same time. The situation in Australia, we've got we call it coal seam gas in Australia, same thing as coal bed methane here in the US. There's exploration and appraisal wells all over the country. One of the problems we face is that they're all in the middle of nowhere. Which is probably good for people not having to live next to them, but they're a bit of a problem for doing remediation work. They're small scale sites, usually about a hectare, which is 2.5 acres, and reasonably dry areas, 600 mil rainfall in that part of the climate's well below evaporation rates, and so it's usually hot and dry and dusty. We've got these little sites just scattered all over the place. The problem that we're facing is that these ponds that are used for water storage are basically pushed up by engineers, people that really like big bulldozers, and without a great deal of regard for what they're pushing out of the ground. And you end up with a whole bunch of these dams that, while they're brilliant in a sort of artistic way, those rills are pretty interesting, I reckon, and it's a pretty bland landscape, so sometimes, any feature is a good feature. But the erosion and rilling of the dam banks is pretty severe. There's literally hundreds of these sites all over the place, so real potential for impacting on waterways and that sort of thing. This is what these dams look like. You can see from the aerial photograph the rilling on the outside of the dam. They're called a turkey's nest design. Basically, they get a big ass dozer and park it in the middle of a paddock and push the walls up with the soil from the inside of the dam, and they probably dig down to about 2 metres below ground level and push up a wall of about a metre and a half, so they end up with a dam that's about 3 or 4 metres deep. I usually line them with plastic to stop the saline water from getting into the soil. Sometimes these actually do that. Most of the time they leak. A lot of the times when we get to them, the sites are dry. Sometimes we have to dispose of the water as well. Our company's rehabilitated 36 sites to date. This is to give you a bit of an appreciation of the variability we're dealing with. All of these three dams that I've put as examples are built similar ways with the material that's now the sides of the dam wall being basically a deep subsoil or a substrate, weathered sea horizon that's been pushed on the outside. But in some cases, it's fairly benign material and grows grass on it, no troubles. Other times, you've got increasing, toxic or physical barriers to plant growth. You can see in example C, we've got an extremely dispersive soil, high sodium loads, hard setting, low fertility, and a range of other impediments to growth. So there's quite a variation in how you deal with each of them. So what we've done is apply a pedological knowledge. I often find that I'm digging holes for myself, like I'm doing now. Basically, we dig holes at each of these sites with the idea of getting an idea of the soil morphology and chemistry and how the soils form to then identify the types of materials we see in the native soil and compare it to the materials we're finding in the dam walls, so we can then make an assessment of where, when we find a material in the wall, where did it originally come from and was it any good. It gives us the ability to reconstruct a soil profile, although in a lot of the cases with the soils out here, they're highly weathered and pretty ordinary. I think the under the Australian soil classification, they come out as a crapasol, and we don't always try and recreate the soil that was there, but try and find the best materials and put them at the upper, at the close to the surface of the root zone. So this is sort of what we're seeing is you've got a soil profile. During the pushing up of the walls, they become inverted so that most of the soils in this climate get progressively worse in terms of pH and salinity and sodicity with depth and lower in fertility. So you go with the best quality material then ends up at the base of the dam wall and the worst quality at the top. I'm going to use an example of a uniform cracking brown clay, verdisol in the classification. Use your imagination. My sketching skills and artistic skills are not fantastic, but that's a dam with walls. What I've done is break it in the layers I observed in the dam wall. And tried to identify where those materials originally came from. So what we've got in this situation is the top of the dam wall is basically a mix of the lower subsoil and parent material, and the wall on the one of the walls has got a high proportion of shallower material and the other wall is a high proportion of the substrate material. And basically I've tried to push in the deeper and more saline material into the dam first. And then finally, it's in this particular example, when they put the dozer that started working, you can see from, we could work out forensically that he pushed up one wall first. And so this northeast wall was basically composed of our surface soil and a little bit of subsoil and some of the upper subsoil, and had far more desirable property, particularly in terms of salinity. The salinity I've measured here, if people are interested, is the electrical conductivity in a 1 to 5 soil water extract. So if you want to calibrate what those numbers are. So it's pretty low salinity material, and we've saved that to the last to push onto the top as our new surface soil, and you can see the wall opposite it. They've obviously pushed up the surface material to start with, and then after they've pushed up a third of that wall, they've gone onto some other walls, and then finally pushed substrate weathered parent material at the top of the wall. So it's really going through and trying to find out where things are so we can deconstruct. So there's our big dozer going. It's really quite a thing trying to get a dozer driver to stop pushing soil. All they want to do is get this stuff in the hole real quick. So they'll just be building up a head of steam and you'll tell them to stop and go to the next wall, which can be problematic, especially when you're just sitting there in your high visibility vest trying to look imposing and the guy's bearing down on you and he really doesn't want to stop. That's what we do and move them along. And this is, in this situation, you can see the bold red line is the final soil in terms of salinity, and we've managed to get the lowest salinity at the surface and the highest salinity at the bottom, so it's successful. You can see the individual wall salinities in the dotted lines, and you can see that three of them showed decreasing salinity with depth, and then you had this one wall, this northeastern wall, that was pretty much all low salinity throughout, and we've obviously made our selections to get that all happening. That's my time. So basically, salinity was used with this particular example, but we also have a whole bunch of dams where we're going off other morphological and chemical factors, such as pH, and looking at things like colour and texture and structure, with the aim being to get a favourable surface. And then we're amending with nitrogen and phosphorus are the main limiting fertilisers, nutrients out there, and we often end up, it's very difficult because all these materials are mixed up to end up with a surface that's not highly sodic, so we're applying really high rates of gypsum to most of our sites. And that's what we're ending up with, is a flat paddock. It was a hole in the ground, but now it's a flat paddock. You can see what I mean about the exciting landscape features. Now they're all growing grass, and we've had some of the first ones in Australia to be signed off by the EPA to go back to the landowner as a grazing paddock. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Any questions from our audience? Yes, please.
Yeah, look, that's a good question. For the most part, the salinity we're finding in the walls isn't related to the salinity and sodicity of the water. The salinity and sodicity of the water is usually pretty extreme. Salinities of between 5,000 and 20,000 parts per million are pretty normal, and the sodicities can be up to infinite if they're just sodium chloride waters. But as a general rule, we're finding that the influence on the soils is pretty minor, either because the dam hasn't filled up ever, or that the line has worked, or that the buffering capacity of the soil has been greater than the influence of the water. So usually we're just dealing with, in these environments, sodic and saline subsoils and substrates is sort of par for the course. So it's usually the real problem we have is that we've got some pretty crappy deeper soils, and the way these dams are constructed is put them at the surface and mix them up so that they're sort of not in any real predictable place. It'd be nice if they did stockpiling.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions from any of our audience? Yes, Chris.
So you're not really dealing with any issues of soil contamination, either organic or inorganic?
Yeah, it's something we look for at all our sites, is things like hydrocarbons and heavy metals and that sort of thing. To date, we've not really come across, which is interesting, because coal bed methane has a pretty bad rap in Australia. It's pretty unpopular, and it's seen as something that would be contaminated, and almost all our sites from that perspective have not been contaminated sites. Sodium chloride and bicarbonate are by far our problematic substances.
Great. I think
so.
Thank you for our speaker. So I appreciate you guys have been great audience and speakers, and stick around until our last speaker. So thank you very much. And we can use a round of applause to end our session.